So we're be keeping B in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir, Wayne.
My daughter Cordelia, she got a style on her eye, and I swear it's one of the worst I've ever seen. So pray for that.
We'll keep Cordelia in our prayers. All right. Keep Cordelia, Wayne Williams' daughter, in our prayers. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Mary and Mance.
Let's keep Mary and Mance in our prayers from Colorado. Anyone else?
It's not a prayer request. It's a question. There's a card, but there are also blanks in here. Are we supposed to sign the back of this and then?
Yes, for in case it didn't fit on one.
Oh, Gwen so go created ahead and that. Start on the back.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Gwen created those, and she created some others in the back that you can avail yourself to. Yes, ma'am?
Also, I take a request for some of the flowers.
Let's see what she does first.
Okay. So if you're interested in cards, talk to Gwen. All right, Carrie.
As many of you know, Liz is on a prayer list, and I just want everyone to know that she thanks each and every one of you for prayers. Her 1 year of sobriety is November 16th.
Did you say Liz? Oh, that's great. 1 year sober is what then?
November 16th.
All right, we'll reach out to her. That's great.
She couldn't have done it without everyone's prayers.
That's great. You let her know how proud you are. All right, yes, sir.
As always, my daughter-in-law,
okay.
Helen, right. And also I have a son-in-law in Florida who has had pretty serious eye surgery. According to my daughter, he's doing well. He's got about a week that he's got to lie face down, which is hard for him because he's a pretty active guy, but he's healing as he should.
Great.
His name is also David.
David Bess, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Could you please pray for our daughter, Sarah?
Keep Sarah, thank you, in our prayers. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
May I have a prayer request for you, for your eyes?
For my eyes. Yeah, just a little retina issues, but I'm good. Thank you.
And also for the Iron Mill folks.
Yes, so let's keep the people, the staff, and the family that owns Iron and Nail in our prayers with that tragic murder. And also I learned this morning that a co-worker, Webbs, was best friends with the gentleman that got shot. So can I mention?
Yes, sir.
So let's keep Gunner, which is a co-worker and like a son to Webb, it was Gunner's best friend. So let's keep Gunner and family in our prayers in this loss. Yes, sir.
I want to put Heather in the prayer.
Let's keep Heather in prayer. She's up at Stanton. You went up to see her Friday, didn't you? Good. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will an act of praise represent and celebrate our veterans. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We are not those who live unaided. We are not left to live life on our own devices, for we have the promise of the eternal God of the universe, the creator of all things, the redeemer of our souls, and the sustainer of our lives, who has promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. We know that whatever valley we walk through, you walk along with us. Whether that valley is in a foreign country, serving and defending our country, or if that valley is simply waking up and facing the difficulties of life, we know that you walk with us. You give us strength, and you give us confidence, and you give us joy. Joy that comes from not seeing the circumstances align the way we would please, but joy that comes from knowing that you are holding us through those difficulties. So we praise you from beginning to end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And it's in you we live and move and have our being. So we come to you as a church family, thanking you for those veterans that have served. We have rich memories of family members and friends who have truly represented a call that came from you. And they have well earned the title of the world's greatest generation. We thank you for those that have served. For those in our midst who have served, we give you thanks. We pray that you would be with these prayer requests that have been mentioned. We pray that you would be with Cordelia and the sty. We pray that it will be diminished in size, give her comfort and strength. We pray that you would be with Marion and with Helen. Continue to be with them. We thank you for the good numbers as Helen has seen her numbers drop, and we pray that you'll continue to bless her. We pray that you would be with Sarah Banky. We just uphold her. We pray that you'd be with Heather as she has a valley of her own to walk. We pray that you'll draw close and comfort her. May your spirit just be a real presence as she's going through some challenges. Be with her dad. Uphold him and strengthen him. And be with the entire family, we pray. We thank you that things can and often do get better in the circumstances. And we thank you for the upcoming year anniversary of Liz Griffin being sober. We thank you that in your economy, it is never too late for us to turn to you to make better, healthier decisions. And we thank you for that. Just we celebrate with Liz and with her entire family. And we ask, Father, that you would be in particular with Bea Gardner this coming Friday. Even now, prepare her body for surgery. May it go well. May there not be any further complications. And may her recovery surprise her. May it go that well. We pray that you be with Dave, strengthen him as he seeks to encourage B, and may we lift them up. Be with Carolyn and others that will be traveling. We just pray that you'll give safety to all those that are traveling. Again, we thank you above all things for the true season, reason for every season, and the only reason that we have joy in every season, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. And I thank all of you who served, even those that didn't stand. I guess when you're in the Air Force, you lose your hearing too soon. Mr. Banking, any other any other veteran that didn't stand? Well, I would like to ask.
My wife to stand for my son is active duty in the Coast Guard.
Then I'd like all of our veterans to stand again. Would all of you stand again? Great theologian Hank Williams Jr. said, with all its problems, you don't see refugees going to any other country. This is the place that I call home, and we're honored to be here. So we are grateful for all of you, and together, standing on the freedoms that so many have defended for us, I am pleased to be able to invite you to worship. And we do that only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me, we will use the first five verses of Psalm 98, calling each to worship before we stand and sing America the Beautiful. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
With his right hand and his holy arm has he won for himself the victory.
The Lord has made known his victory. His righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the nations.
He remembers his mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice, and sing.
Thank you.
First reading is taken from Malachi 4:1-6. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for there will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers and their children to the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. The first reading.
Thanks be to God.
In this life, and come to be with you forever in the life to come. Grant, we pray, this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory of God.
Second reading comes from 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5, 6 through 13. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know that you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. But such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Thus ends the second reading.
Thank you.
First of all, I can't believe Tom finally left me behind the podium. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. It's been a tough year for most of us. It's been an expensive year. Inflation is a real thing. You know, gas is $3.50 a gallon. Dozen eggs is $6. Bacon's $12. I know this because Carrie hasn't made me breakfast for 6 months. Those are toasted bagel at me and says be grateful. No, just kidding. But seriously, these boxes, what they mean for these kids, I want all you guys to reach back in your memory bank for a minute and think about, it was probably when you were a child, but maybe an adult. Think about one of the best Christmases you ever had. You know, like you just got that special gift, you were wild, right? I remember one Christmas I asked for a G.I. Joe tent with the G.I. Joe sleeping bag and the figurines. And I came out to the tree and there were some cool gifts, but I didn't have any of that. And after we were done cleaning everything up, my dad walked me over to the sliding glass door and pointed to the yard. And there was a G.I. Joe tent. He had already put it up, had the sleeping bag in it and the figurines. It was awesome. And I think I slept in that tent for a week until mom got sick of it and made me come back to my bedroom. But these boxes that these kids are going to get, every one of these boxes has a G.I. Joe tent in it. You know, it's that's what it is to them. And most of these kids have never received a gift. And we wake up on Christmas morning, we're going to have carpet under our feet, you know, a tub we can take a bath in. You know, most of these kids have dirt under their feet when they get up. So the importance of these boxes, and you guys filling them, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. It's, like I said, it's been an expensive year. We asked a lot of you guys, you know, we need passes, bus passes for car feet. Bam, here's 1,200 passes. We need jackets or food. Boom, there it is. So-and-so's hurt. We need to raise some money. We raise $800, boom. And then here comes Webb at the end of the year when the fat jolly guy's about to knock on the door and the Commonwealth wants us to pay taxes on our personal property taxes, and Webb comes along and says we need to fill 50 boxes. Well, with y'all's help and a little bit of help from some people at my work, we did that. And then with some donations and a little bit that we're going to pull out of foreign missions, we've come up with $800 to ship. This year's a little different because not only did we fill 50 boxes versus 35 last year, but this year we have the books, The Greatest Journey. And one of the coolest things that I think is that these kids are going to, every one of these boxes is going to have a Bible in it and their own particular language. So much as I love my G.I. Joe tent, one thing that I never got when I was a kid at Christmas, which is okay, because I came to God in my own perfect time and in His perfect time, but I never got the love of God or the Word of God. And that's something that these kids are going to get. So thank you for that. Next year we're going to fill 300, but don't panic. I've got a game plan. We're going to go to that starting in January. But again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for these boxes and what it means to these kids. It's every one of these boxes has a G.I. Joe 10 in it, if that makes sense as an analogy. So if you'll join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings you give us every day, for everything you do for us, our needs, our wants, our prayers answered. More importantly, we pray for these kids. Most of them are going to get a Christmas present for the first time ever. We pray for these boxes. We pray for these children. And we thank you not only for allowing us to put these boxes together and send them to these kids, but for allowing us to do what you ask us to do, which is to spread your word all over the earth as much as we can. So we thank you for the joy and the gift of these boxes. We thank you for the recipients that are receiving them. We thank you, Father, just for you and your promise to us of eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Gospel took a lot. Luke chapter 21, verses 29 through 36. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out and leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to the name of Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we have a prayer, I love all the people that are here today. And I love the faces because, you know, most of us have a little bit of gray. And it's been a while. And it was so good to hear a baby cry out and everyone look around going, what is that? Jonathan and Krista, we're always good to see you, but we're really eager to meet the little ones. Some of us that haven't met them yet, so that'd be great. And isn't it wonderful, not only a miracle of new life, but to see the miracle of God's change in lives. And I got teary because several years ago after someone came to Christ, I asked them if they'd simply read Scripture, and they did it. And Webb Griffin said, if you ever have me do that again, I'll shoot you. And to see him, I thought I was going to have to wrestle the pulpit back from him. But what a joy. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we are the church. This is where the ministry is done. So let us have a prayer. And then to prepare our hearts for the brief sermon I'll have, we're going to listen to a wonderful song from Jeannie. So let's pray together and then prepare our hearts through Jeannie's song. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the work you've done in us and through us. You are the God of life. And that life is not only abundant, it's eternal. We will never step out of your life-giving care for us. We are held in your precious nail-scarred hands. May we hold on, but may our true confidence be in knowing that you hold on to us, and you've never lost one yet. So we thank you, and we rest in your love. Prepare our hearts now, we pray, to see Jesus and him alone. Amen. Now you pray that I can edit a 30-minute sermon into a meaningful 25-minute sermon. This service is all about heroes. From beginning to the very end of today, it's about heroes. And however we define it, in whatever stage or setting or situation in life, a hero, as I understand it, is someone who is able to respond. You just simply do the next thing. I love veterans. And my favorite veterans, including the ones in this room, are somewhat quiet about it. They don't have to tell you. Anyone who's been around me very long knows that my favorite quote outside of scripture is Lady Astor's quote, that if a late woman has to tell you she's a lady, she's not. Heroes don't need to tell you they're heroes. They just do the next thing. Whether that's serving our country overseas, or whether that's waking up to feed the children after you've been up all night, it's doing the next thing. It's putting the next foot in front of the others. It's moving on. The song, or the Solomon said in Proverbs that a wise man, not a fool, not someone that's not to be honored, but a wise man falls 7 times a day. But the distinction of the wisdom in the man who's wise is not how many times he or she would fall, but the fact that every time they very heroically get up. In our passage today from Thessalonians, there are two things that are sort of outlined that look very similar, but they're extremely different. That is being idle and being quiet. And we think of being idle as our car being out of gear. We think of being idle sometimes as being quiet. But if we'll see in Scripture, and in particular in this passage, there's a big difference between those who are idle and those that are quiet. Idle people can't be heroic because idle people won't respond. They don't hear the call. Idle people, or as Jesus would say, are like children playing in the marketplace. They're distracted out of fear, out of maybe sometimes a perfectionism that thinks if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. Whatever the motive is, idle people are just sort of twiddling away and not even listening. It used to be when my oldest children were teenagers, it was quite common. You may have heard this from a teenager or two. Whatever. You ever heard that? Whatever. Brothers and sisters, we don't even say it anymore because it's become so ingrained in our culture that we don't have to say whatever. You see it all the time. It's just how we are idle. People refuse to work. People refuse to respond in tragedy. People refuse to do the next thing. Idle people can't be heroic. On the other side, we see quiet people. And while quietness looks like being idle, quietness is more that calm notion, not full knowledge, that I can respond or maybe not respond at all, which no response is a response. I, like my Savior, can quietly open up and say not a word, for I trust. See, quietness are those that don't need to complain. They just do. You know complainers in your life, don't you? And you know doers in your life. And for the most part, they're not the same people, are they? Complaining is a wonderful way to spend idle time away. But those that are quiet, that have that quiet confidence, that can truly be still and know, they can respond and they can be heroic. And what is the distinction between the two? And that's the simple word we see here, confidence. Idle people aren't confident. They're anxious, they're worried, they're doubtful, they're frantic. Quiet people are extremely confident. That's why they'd be quiet. And let me just leave with you that confidence is absolutely a Christian concept. If you look at the word confidence, it means, and right in the middle of confidence is a wonderful word, fide, and it simply means faith. Confidence is to have faith with someone. See, our quietness, our ability to respond, to do that which is heroic, whether it makes the newspaper or not, our ability to do that is we have put our faith with the faith of the eternal Son of God. And far more importantly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He has taken His faith and put it and knit it with ours. So we can be quiet. We can respond heroically because we have that confidence that only comes from a resurrected Lord that next week we'll celebrate as being Christ the King. Let me close with one of my favorite movies about a branch that sometimes doesn't get as much served called tea time. But Ann stood for one in this branch. There, if you tally it up, there are far more movies about every other branch, except one branch of the Army had not really gotten the coverage it needed, and a movie was produced, which I think is one of my favorite movies. If you haven't watched it, watch it this afternoon. And it's called The Guardian, with Kevin Costner, and about the Coast Guard. Do any of you know what the Coast Guards, and they stole this motto from my realm of work. Do you know what the Coast Guard's motto is?
Semper Paratus.
Mm-hmm.
Semper Paratus.
Well, what does that translate to? That others may live is what I read. The Coast Guard is that others may live. You know why Jesus did what He did? So that others may live. You know why Christ fought, faced His cross with joy? So that others may live. Do you know why Christ rose from the dead and lives eternally, making intercession? So that others may live. We just simply do the next thing. And we can do that in confidence because we know the One who lives forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together. Using the words of the Apostles' Creed, this is what we believe, brothers and sisters, together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts to you in praise and thanksgiving, faithful God, because in your generosity you created all things in overflowing plenty. In love you called the children of Abraham to be your companions. In covenant goodness, you sent prophets to restore their life. And in grace, you sent your Son. to redeem the past and embody our future in you. In his crucifixion, we see the worst that we can do. Yet in his resurrection, we behold your will and your power to make sin and death the threshold of everlasting life in you. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels, singing the praise of your glory. Holy, holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of destiny and coming joy, you have prepared for those who love you such things as pass our understanding. As wheat and grapes reach their fulfillment in bread and wine, so we, your children, await the day when you will return us from faltering followers into fully faithful friends. Bless your church in the power of your Spirit, that it may be made ready to meet you in glory. Send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine. They may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
God of hope, in you the future is always bigger than the past. Visit your children when the sound of their weeping is heard in your cities. Comfort your people when an infant lives but a few days. Transfigure the lives of any who labor in vain or bear children for calamity. Strengthen those who build houses and plant vineyards, and inspire all who strive to restore communities after conflict or disaster. Give endurance to those who are hated and betrayed, until the time when you create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall pass away, and you make Jerusalem a joy and its people a delight, and your whole creation is once again a blessing. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our Savior paid the ultimate sacrifice that through his life we are able to live sacrificially, to serve, to do the next thing, to his glory and honor. For he sustains us and upholds us in his love and his grace. This is the Lord's table. And I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come forth and to receive strengthening of your soul. The Passover lamb has been slain. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
We have eaten from the table prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We are strengthened to live life, and that more abundantly, through the one who gave all for us. We give you thanks. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together, singing the last hymn. and I'm honored. Well, we have a hero in our midst, and she's going to give her story to us. And she wanted to share. And from, as 2 Corinthians would say, from the trials we've gone through to comfort others. So if you have not met Werner and Kathy, you need to. And Kathy is going to share her story with us now.
1 second, one circle. In 1984, in just 1 second, my life changed. In that year, I was in a terrible car accident. I died twice, but I still survived. The fight was hard, but it led me to my guardian angel, Werner, my God-given gift. I would suffer all over again with the challenges and the pain I would have just to receive my gift. Throughout the years to come, I had many, many surgeries with Werner always there, holding my hand. I had been given a new chance. Sorry. It's okay. I'm just as nervous as you watch me up here. And for 10 years, as I got older, which the doctors continue reminding me of constantly, I began having more surgeries and then even more. Our days would be spending them in doctor's offices or a hospital 2 or 3 times a week for months and months, sent to doctor after doctor, tests after test, and all the x-rays I have had, I should be glowing in the dark, but he was always by my side. Werner, every second, standing behind me and with me through every step I was enduring. I then became bedridden for 8 of these 10 years because of the pain that I had. In the 8th year, I had a miracle happen from God, which I now know. One of my doctors, with a special new device and surgery, I would walk again without pain. In 1 second, in March 2022, I was told I needed to have surgery on my eyes as a result of an accident 40 years later. This may seem simple to some, but it could be difficult for others. I felt desperate when I heard I would now need to have surgery on my eyes. If something happened and I would never be able to walk again, I could always use the help of a wheelchair. I could cope and accept that. If something happened to my sight, it would be unbearable for me to accept, even though there are many strong and manage to do it every day. Just thinking that there could be one more chance where I wouldn't be able to see and enjoy all the beauty around me, knowing what I would be missing, that I would become a burden to others, that would be even more unbearable for me. In 1 second, on June 2nd, 2022, I attempted to take my own life. In 1 second, the circle of my life changed forever. In 1 second, David and Judy had been watching over our girl Bella and helping by easing Werner's mind from it all. In 1 second, Werner would come to pick up Bella and would meet Tom and Sherry visiting Judy and David's home. They too would open their arms to give him his much needed care, comfort, and love. In 1 second, the circle continued. From any tragedy that might occur in your life, you must look for the good that enters your life from it all. Our blessings are that we made new friends. Who knew it would become the reason God would enter our lives together and become closer to God and place Him in our lives. In 1 second, the circle continued, and because of my attempt to end my life, we lost our children. They became judgmental and hateful with words and actions. They would turn their backs on us and walk away instead of learning a great lesson about being a family and using this lesson to become even closer to appreciating our lives together, all united in the end. They have even proclaimed our death in their eyes. Yes, our hearts are broken, and I cry a lot. But this is the path they have chosen. They still need to find and have their 1 second, one circle, to continue their lives without their parents, which they feel right now was the right and only choice for them to be made. Sadly, they don't have God in their lives to open their hearts and minds to accept the gift of God's love in their hearts. Warner and I pray daily to God that they will open their hearts as we opened ours to know the presence of God in our own life. In 1 second, the circle continued and we were led to you, the most loving, open-armed friends, who all seemed to be family that we have never known. God is good, right? So I stand before you to say thank you for all, for being here to offer us both your love and kindness. I have always had Warner on my side. I have learned, though, that there are others around the corner to extend their hand of love and to help you stand proud again, sometimes being complete strangers. We feel we have been blessed and now have an abundance of loving friends. Yes, God is good. If you know anyone in your family, friends or even strangers, that are close to such a point in their life where they feel that ending their life, that their life doesn't matter, feeling pain, sadness, ending their life would be the only answer. For 1 second, offer them your hand and be a part of their circle. I even had that kind of love, and I still felt I needed to be less of a burden, causing sadness for Warner and others to wipe away all the physical and mental pain from me. Ending my life would be my only answer for the quickest way to make it all disappear. Now I can see how wrong I was and what I had missed. For 1 second, support them. Never punish them, never turn your back on them, and never judge them. Just open your arms and heart to help them feel you are there always. Stand by them as you have been standing here loving me. Help them feel God's presence, and you will be their Warner, holding them up and still proud to have them walk by your side. Give them hope and share your laughter and your joy just to let them know life can be great again. Others really do care and that their life will be great again. That with God in their heart and you are always there, lending an ear and an open heart, just as God does. I wanted to share my story with you in hopes of helping if it's the only way to understand the thoughts of just one person wanting to end their life. Their reasons are the same for anyone feeling that desperation and sadness. There are many stories to be told to others who would think that's not a big problem at all. You must walk in their shoes first to try and understand why there's sadness in one's life. No one knows their own level of desperation until you are there, and how far the level of your own desperation can be. I used to be confident and strong, but my trials became too much for me to handle. I hadn't started seeking God for that help yet. Just try to help them know you are there and you care. There will be times, though sad, when they never get that feeling of strong, caring love that is being offered and lost. Knowing you tried everything, don't feel that you have failed them ever. With God's love and yours, there's always a chance. I thank God for all who have opened their hearts to us both. I personally thank God for all my gifts, my husband Warner, who has always been my guardian angel, and our dear new friends, David and Judy, who took such loving care of our Bella, and who comforted Warner with his own feelings of sadness, but knew he would be the strong who would help weather this storm for this pause in our life. Tom and Sherry, who have not only comforted Warner, but also opened their hearts and shared your house of God with us both. I'm still learning how to become God's shepherd and receive his love fully in my heart and find faith. I know it's possible there for me because I get to witness and see you all as an example of his word. It just takes one circle, one second. With the holidays now creeping up on everyone, it will be happy times for most. But not everyone. Maybe a loved one has passed on to be in the heavens with our God, lost their job, lost their children. And lost hope for having love for their own life. Just open up your heart, your home, and your time to show them that there is someone who's always there. Life, love, live. God gave them life. Show them the true meaning of love. And don't leave them. Then they too will also want to live. Become their one thing. And be live in their soul.
I know that you guys might say goodbye to me, but who you really want to see are Warner and Kathy and Marley. So you three, Warner and Kathy, go on back to the back so everyone can see you. But we have celebrated the heroes in our midst, which is each one of you who hears the grace of God and does the next thing to his glory, the good of your neighbor. The service now is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.